The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
I don't know about you guys, but a game is 10 times more hotter when I put my money on it. Sometimes I just have a good feeling and got my creative juices flowing. And I want to make some money, so I want to put some money on that and get rich. Other times I just want to bet on my team because, you know what? They're just my team and I know them and I'm just going to throw some money down on them. Whether you've been betting for years or it's just, you know, your first time, let my bookie be the place for you. And right now, they got a promo going on where they'll match deposit dollar for dollar under the promo code CHAIR. And they'll match deposits. So you put 100 in, you get 100 back. I mean, you're a chance to even make even more money. You can bet on, you know, you can bet from your computer or from your phone. And they got plenty of sports to bet on, plenty of props. XFL's in session. So go, guys. Go to mybookie.ag. Use the promo code CHAIR. You bet, you win, you get paid. All right, fellas and ladies. Welcome to another Pimp Panther Rants, another Sports Rants podcast. Lad Harris here. Happy Monday to you all. I'm on my way home from work. I would have recorded this morning, but I just really didn't feel like recording. So I'm in rush hour right now. Getting home. Brought to you by Armchair Media. Take a seat. So plenty of things to talk about today. Lots of things. Well, first of all, let's get the... This is Pitt-centric, so let's start with Pitt. Pitt Hoops on Saturday knocked out Georgia Tech. I didn't get a chance to watch the game because, I was watching XFL and I was injecting into my veins and it was... God, it was so good. You know, I watched both games on Saturday. I missed the games on Sunday, but, any game that involves Dallas is probably going to be a train wreck anyway. But, I looked over, I rewatched the pick game thanks to YouTube and you get all the highlights and all that happy stuff. Justin Champagne, 30 points, I believe 12 boards. The guy, obviously, I was reading that Julius Page mentioned that they should ride the game through Justin Champagne. He should be the guy because they were without Ryan Murphy, and hopefully he comes back soon. I know he's been hurt. They got Clemson on Wednesday, a winnable game there. They're 15-9 overall, 6-7 in the ACC. They've surpassed last year's win total overall, which is awesome. And the best part about that, and they did this, they surpassed last year's win total, winning more ACC games. Which is, to me, is great. I love it. I know that the ACC overall isn't all that great this year. They're, right now, as it stands, we're lucky if we're going to get three teams in the tournament, but lots can change. We may end up getting five in, six, who knows? It just depends on records and depends on how the bubble looks. No tournament is complete without ACC teams. You got to have them. So I think, it may work out. For me, I'm happy that Pitt's, even if the ACC is down this year, I'm very happy that Pitt is taking advantage of it. I'd be more concerned if they weren't, if they were still losing games at a rapid pace. I'd be very, very concerned. But look at the game. Obviously, they're learning differences. If you watched, Tech stayed in it or tried to stay in it towards the end in the second half. Pitt pulled away. But the glaring thing was is they turned the ball over a hell of a whole lot than Pitt did. They had over 20 turnovers. And I think fouls as well. They dumped, of course, a lot of it was probably towards the end of the game. But turnovers are a big thing. The shooting statistics were very similar. But the turnovers were the most glaring part of it, and Pitt's defense did a hell of a job on that. and that's what they're good at, is forcing turnovers. He's capable of stress defense so much that these guys are definitely getting it. And there's good things yet to come. I mean, excuse me. If you check out at Dream at Into Pit, the guy who does the Dream Backfield site, he's got some good resources there, some good articles about how Pitt's progressed. So I would definitely go check him out, check out his site. Definitely follow him for Pitt, for Pitt games as well, because if you want the play by play, he's going to give it to you and he's going to tell you what's going on and what they're doing. So check him out. Hey, I'll take it. If they can win, they'll be 7-7 overall ACC, which kind of gets you excited. Kind of makes you wonder if they can make the tournament or not. Although I said last podcast that it ain't happening. But, of course, that excitement and joy feeling is, they just might make it. Oh, my God. We're so close. Who knows? I mean, hey, it's good to think. Good to dream. Sometimes dreams come true. But we'll see. And there's a guy who just drove past, but he's FaceTiming while driving his two-passenger sports car. And he's got his freaking top down on top of it. Ah, yes, FaceTiming while driving. That's awesome. Unless he's Snapchatting and showing how fast he's going in rush hour. But, I mean, if you're going to FaceTime, I guess you should do it there. And maybe I should mind my own business, but it was right in front of me, and that's what I'm trying to, I hate now, is I get into a line the other day at Kroger, the express checkout or whatever, or the self checkout, I should say, and I'm behind this lady and I hear a bunch of talking, and naturally she has something on FaceTime, and I'm like trying to, I have to step a few steps away from her because, well, otherwise I feel like I'm part of the conversation. I might as well start, talking with them and jumping in their conversation. So, yeah, I just, I don't like that. I mean, it's the same. I mean, I wonder if there's a correlation between these people and people that at their desks at cubicles put their phones on speaker for everyone to hear. I don't know. Anyways. Other fun things going on. Well, this morning there was a tweet that got sent out. I guess Steigerwald, sent it out. There's a Pitt Stadium billboard. I'm not sure how much it cost to put that up there, and I hope they didn't spend a whole lot on it. But I don't see it happening ever. I don't. I just don't. It's not happening. And to be honest with you, I think it's a good idea if we don't let it happen. Because I just feel if we bring it on campus stadium in the Oakland, we're going to redevelop Oakland, and we're going to destroy what Oakland once was to us, or what it is now. So, I mean, do you want Gene's place to be gone, be replaced by some sort of yuppie type of wine bar or something, wine or cigar bar, where it costs, where each draft beer costs $8 or $9, and you order a hamburger and it's made of grass-fed beef and of course with an organic gluten-free bun and of course organic potato chips with it or some sort of special French fry substitute where your entree costs like $25. No, you don't want that. You want to keep Jeans at where Jeans is at. You want a bar where you can get cheap drafts, and the only type of food you can order is potato chips, Slim Jims, and peanuts. And a cigarette machine. I don't know if Jeans has that or not, but you know what I'm saying. In other words, you want to keep your dive bars where they're at. Otherwise, you bring on campus stadium, we're going to have, South Oakland, North Oakland becomes New Oakland. So, I think if you're putting a stadium that's near Pitt, your best bet is probably going to be, I don't know. I would say buy riverfront land, buy Hazelwood, and then, you know, do that. Because I just don't see it happening. So let me pause this real quick. Okay, we're back at it. I had to pause it real quick because some texts were flying, and I really don't want people to call while I'm podcasting because it pisses me off. It ruins the podcast. So yeah, I don't see it on the campus same happen in Oakland. Luke Fickell turned down the Michigan State job. And of course, it didn't take some of the local media to say, well, gee, I wonder, if I'm Heather Luck, I wonder where Pat Narduzzi is right now. Pat Narduzzi is a head coach at Pitt right now. So on top of that, Pat released a video of himself, you know, declaring his loyalty to Pitt. So I mean, it would be a really dick move at this point for him to, you know, to change his mind. I just don't, you know, I don't see. Then of course, last night Smisley mentioned, well, you know, people, you know, it's nice that Pat Narduzzi turned it down, but there's a good chance the job wasn't offered to him or it wasn't his. And you know, that's good. That's good logic by Bob. That's great. But regardless of what the truth is, Pat Narduzzi's still a head coach at Pitt. So either way, he hasn't really lost anything because he still has a head coaching job. So I don't think it's going to hurt his ego that that the Michigan State didn't want to give him a job. But you know what's good for what's good for clicks and attention is, you know, keeps people busy, I guess. I don't know. You know, it's starting to rain here on the way home. I mean, I'm thinking we're going to get a rainbow because the skies are clear and it's raining. So I'm thinking we definitely got to get a rainbow here coming. Oh, well, I don't know. Whatever. But Michigan State, I think, if anything else, their next hire is probably going to be a short term. I don't think their job is a horribly bad job. I mean, it's Michigan State. It's in the Big Ten. It's not a horribly bad job. It's just right now, it's not somewhere you want to be right now. Or where Pat Narduzzi or Luke Fickell want to be. Because it's a mess. And I'm thinking, after how long D'Antonio has been there, they're probably going to clean house is what it is. And in some ways, that's kind of how I felt the Kevin Stallings hire was at Pitt. It was an attempt to clean house and to change culture. Whatever in culture Jimmy Dixon instilled, I think they wanted to change it. I just didn't think they banked on Kevin Stallings losing every ACC game in his second year, and pretty much alienating the fan base. But you know, that wasn't really totally his fault. That was Scott Barnes' fault for doing that. And pretty much saying that the people who, you know, they don't like it and, you know, find something else to do. Which is kind of ballsy by him to pretty much say that, you know, to tell the donors that they really don't matter. I don't know. But then Heather came in and got Capel, and that's that. But I'm sure if, I'm not sure if Heather's too worried if Pat Narduzzi left or is going to leave. I'm sure she has some sort of backup plan. Probably already has a candidate lined up in case he does bail. So really, if he did, it'll be nothing new to Pitt. So I don't think we'd be too hurt that he'd be gone. That's part of life. But regardless, he's still here and who cares? Whatever. You know, I find that I'm very close to muting Kobe Bryant off my timeline because you know, I don't mind the whole remembrance stuff in the morning and the rest in peace. I mean, that's great. It's just there's a never ending pissing match over his legacy now. I mean, you have two sides arguing about what his legacy is and talking about what happened back in 2003 I mean, the guy is gone now. I mean, it's, I understand if you're, you know, if you're worried about, you know, his, you know, what he, you know, what he did then, but it's kind of, you know, you probably should have brought up when he was still alive and not rooting for the guy when he was still playing. And of course, you know, being marveled at his, what he's been doing and say, oh yeah, you know, about that, you know, about that charge he had. And of course the Oscars were last night, but you know what? I mean, people were pissed off over the, some people were pissed over who won the best film or whatever. I don't know. You know, I don't watch the Oscars or the Grammys. I really don't have any rooting interest. And I really don't have any interest in any of the speeches either. Although Joaquin Phoenix's tribute to his brother River, the guy who played the guy, he was, you know, he was the guy for Stand By Me. You know, that was cool. I mean, he was paying tribute to his brother. I mean, some people talked about his, I guess his issue with milk. I guess, well, it wasn't so much milk. I mean, he wasn't against milk. It was just how the cow, you know, what's done to the cows. That they're, you know, that they're inseminated and they get the, their offspring's taken from them. But I mean, people were pissed off over that. But they, but the same people that are mad over that didn't realize he was talking about cancel culture as well. You know, he was railing against that as well. I mean, he was. I mean, with that speech, there's a lot to love. I mean, there was some stuff you probably didn't like, but there was some stuff you could like. Anyways, let's move on to some more stuff. XFL. Let's get to this now. Finally, I watched the game Saturday and Sunday, and I just fell in love. I mean, watching Cardale Jones in game one tear it up. I mean, he looked shaky in the beginning, but all quarterbacks do. And he really turned it on. The Houston game was fun for me to watch because of June Jones and Chris Miller being the coaches. June Jones, obviously the head coach, Chris Miller, the offensive coordinator, who was at Atlanta during the when the Falcons were in the, you know, the black uniforms. You had Chris Miller, you had Andre Rison, Dion, Michael Haynes, too legit to quit. You had all those guys. And the offense, it was run and shoot, and P.J. Walker just tore it up. I mean, it was fun to watch. And, of course, it cost Pepper Johnson his job, which sucks. I believe it was Pepper, yeah, because, yeah, game one was Washington-Seattle, I remember now. And Washington started to hate their team until Cardale Jones started to really tear it up. The second game wasn't so much to look at either. I mean, it was a fun game. I guess it depends on who you're rooting for, but you had some people that fired off with their hot takes about how the game, league won't survive. One person who is, you know, obviously considers himself the champion for Pittsburgh sports was yapping about it and said, well, the XFL will never outdraw a Penn's playoff game ever. And I'm like, dude, really? I mean, we're that, it'll never outdraw the Penn's. I don't think the XFL's intention is to ever outdraw the Penn's. And we got this dickhead. Excuse my language, guys. Causing an accident. Almost. Basically, somebody in an Infiniti SUV who, you know, just feels that they're entitled to cut people off and cause accidents. My apologies for Infiniti drivers who aren't dickheads. All right, anyways, let's get back to it. I don't think the XFL's intentions to compete with any league. I think the intention is to maintain a league. They got a 2-year deal with major networks. The guys aren't being paid much. And of course, there was an article about how Kaepernick supposedly turned on the XFL, which was kind of clickbait. Because when I was reading it, Oliver Luckey mentions that, you know, given what they pay quarterbacks, 55, you know, not so much quarterbacks, but players in general, 55, 60 grand, that there's probably no way in hell that Colin Kaepernick is going to take that much money to play in the XFL. I'm sure Kaepernick has made plenty of money through his deals. And on top of that, went through his deals. And, of course, you know, through the Nike contract. Because, you know, he has that shoe he's selling. So I'm sure Colin Kaepernick's not hurting too bad. That he needs to take a $60,000 check to play in play quarterback in the XFL. I mean, why sacrifice your body when you're making enough money as it is? You know, I think we're past the whole, you know, does he want to play principal now? Or, you know, I think we're past all that right now, to a point where it's like, it's just, the whole conversation is just a dead conversation. But for a lot of these guys, they want second chances. I mean, Carl Jones, I mean, I didn't realize he was out of the league. But he's back. And I think he had that one good year. I think they took him to the national title game. They won it. And I think he was supposed to, I don't think he left early. I think he came back when he was supposed to, when he was projected to be a first round pick. And I'm not sure what happened to him after that. But I think, you know, he got some bad advice. I'm sure Lloyd probably, not Lloyd, but Urban probably wanted to, you know, convince to keep him because he needed quarterback depth. Because he obviously needed, you know, needs somebody to cover his ass. But Cardell is back, and, you know, for him, this is good for him. Because, I mean, he's going to get some of the reps that he needs. I mean, P.J. Walker had a hell of a game. I mean, but for this league to survive, I think the teams need to have some sort of playmaker, and it's got to be a quarterback. So, I mean, each team's got to have some sort of exciting element to it, to their game, because if they don't, well, some of these teams are going to fold. I think at the end of the day, if the XFL can have at least four core teams that are really good, I think they'll be fine. It's just that you may have some teams that fold, and if, you know, it happens. If teams are going to fold, if you can add teams, but at the end of the day, they got to maintain this league and give people, you know, give these guys viable options, especially kids in high school. You know, if they can give them an option to go here instead of going to college, make some money, and develop themselves, it'd be great. Because here's the thing: going to college and going to class just isn't for everybody. That's why we have, you know, trades and whatnot. Because not everybody wants to go to college. Some guys, they want to, you know, they might have a trade. They don't want to sit in classrooms. They want to go do an apprenticeship and make some money right away and get paid. Can't blame them. We all want to work. We all want to work and make money. That's just how it is. But overall, I love the shortened play clock, because it forces these guys to, you know, it forces them to pick up the pace, let the guy through. Hold on, guy. There was an accident. I'm not sure where, but there's an ambulance heading that way, so I had to pause it again. And you can hear my clicks as well. But yeah, I mean, I love how they, you know, the shortened play clock forces them to pick up the pace. You got the extra point options. The kickoffs are really cool as well. I mean, one thing that XFL has to do, one thing to keep themselves as a good league, is to they have to continually be innovative and be ahead of the curve, which they have been. I'm sure the NFL will still some of these roles and some of these ideas eventually down the road, because that's what they did when the XFL came in years ago. But overall, I thought it was a good debut for the league, and week two will tell a lot, and I'm sure it'll be a drop-off in viewers, because that's what happened with the AAF. But the AAF wasn't really... For one thing with the AAF is the games weren't really readily available. You couldn't find them anywhere. They were on Backpage networks, pretty much. You didn't see them a lot. The XFL's got, you know, contracts with major networks for 2 years, and if they can pull some rings out of their ass, then it may work out for them. But I'd like to see an XFL team of Pittsburgh, but it's not going to happen. Because here's the thing. Unless it's the Steelers, Pittsburgh's not going to support another football team. Okay? You know, you can make their jersey black and gold all you want. It's not the Steelers. And that's just the brains of Yinzers. If it's not Steelers, they don't give a shit. No, it's not Steelers. You know, basically. And on top of that, they're going to need a place to play. And while you can't play at Heinz because it's an NFL stadium, I'm not sure the Steelers will be all right with it. Although there's no competition to be had, I just don't think they'll allow it. And given the how much buzz they would have, they would need a smaller facility. They would need a smaller facility, possibly 30,000-40,000 seats, with the proximity of the Pittsburgh. Probably, I would recommend Oakland. Put on Pitt's campus. At least between 30,000-50,000 seats. Actually, 35,000-45,000 seats would be good. Put it near University of Pittsburgh, and we kill two birds with one stone. And yeah, there's my hypocritical statement of saying we don't need an on-campus stadium. But yeah, it's just they would need a facility to do it in, and of course, there's no facilities that are big enough for them. Yeah, basically. And of course, Heinz Field's too big. They need some that's at least 30,000 seats, because Houston's playing their games currently at the U of H, and I think that stadium seats about 40,000, between 40,000 to 50,000 maybe. So yeah, you're gonna need that type of thing. This league is gonna work in an 80,000 seat primary. Oh wow, the Ice Cream Man, and he's playing music too. Ice Cream Man in freaking middle of February. That's phenomenal. And he had the music playing too, which is kind of cool. Anyways, guys, I'm gonna leave it here. In fact, I'm turning on this road. Let me do that. I'm recording this now because I'm on call the rest of the week, and my life's gonna be a living hell for the rest of it. But anyways, guys, hella Pitt, go XFL.